This week on The Inswinger.
I don't know why we can't see any semblance of consistency in this team. And you know what? Ten Hag is running out of excuses.
You know, investment into players paying off. And that's kind of all you can ask for as a Chelsea fan.
It's not a wild statement to say Rodri is the most important player in that team. Can they still win the league without him? Yes.
They were more energized, they were more disciplined, they showed quality that United couldn't even cope with. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Season 4, Episode 4 of the Inswinger Podcast. I'm Charlie DiMatteo, joined alongside
Harrison McGlashan.
A bit of a hectic week in the Premier League. I say that it's always a hectic week in the Premier League. This week especially, though. Some turmoil at Old Trafford. What else is new? Tottenham turning it on. City dropping points. You had Chelsea again looking convincing. So we're going to get into all of that. But we're going to start with the Sunday afternoon game up in Manchester. United, some new players inserted into the lineup. Ugarte was there. Plenty of new signings. Ten Hag guys. But they got trampled. They went down to 10 men at the end of the first half. But even before that, I mean, Spurs were just all over them. It was prime Ange ball. Harrison, what did you make of Spurs' trouncing of United? And where does this leave United right now?
Well, it just feels like deja vu, doesn't it? I mean, boy, they were crap, especially in that first half. I mean, even when it was 11 aside, again, in that first half, it was all Spurs. You know, to have a team like that rock up to Old Trafford and just be all over you in a big game, it's just unacceptable if you're United. Apart from maybe 15, 20 minutes in the second half when they had a bit of a go, they were just miles off it. Struggling to score goals seems to be the theme of this season. I think the eye test and the stats tell you that clearly. You know, we went from apparently one of their best performances last week against Palace under Ten Hag, where I thought they knocked it around pretty well and just couldn't really put it in the net for whatever reason. And then this week, it's one of their worst performances. So I don't understand, you know, they're just so inconsistent, which they were last season, and they seem to continue that trend. I don't know why we can't see any semblance of consistency in this team. And you know what? Ten Hag is running out of excuses because, like you said, these are his guys. They've spent a lot of money. They've backed him despite flirting with other managers. You know, just as we thought, maybe we're starting to see something more possession dominating, you know, fullbacks inverting, that sort of modern style that a lot of teams are doing and doing well in the Premier League. We get this. So I don't understand. I mean, other than Luke Shaw, his first 11 is pretty much there and fit. So, you know, I don't think they're going to sack him this week, next week. I think he'll definitely get a bit more time because they backed him. But like I said, excuses are running out. Need to see more consistency. And you know what? Even if players are missing chances, you need to find a way to create those chances. And they didn't. They had zero big chances created, according to SofaScore, against Spurs, which is just not good enough. So comfortably second best against a team that they should be competitive with. That is Spurs and United, you'd think, before the start of the season, both going for that fourth spot, maybe. I would just favor Spurs. I think I did in my predictions because I believe in the manager a bit more. Yeah. I like just the direction they're going in. I don't think they're the finished article. You could see what they're trying to do. The quality of United's squad, I think, is not bad at all. I think they've brought in a lot of good players. And I think, you know, obviously, you know, we know what Mainoo can do, Fernandez. I think Dalot had a great season last year. I really like the look of Mazraoui. The center back situation seems to be sorted. I think the goalkeeper's improved. They can't score goals. The striker situation has a big question mark over it. The Rashford situation has a big question mark over it. Is Garnacho better on the right than the left? Don't think so. So, listen, he just hasn't really solved the same problems we saw last season, I don't think. And we're getting new problems. It's just inconsistent is the word. And for Spurs, I thought they were brilliant. It was typical Ange ball. Yeah, there have been some question marks over their defensive structure this season, but they can blow teams away like they did on Sunday and like they did to Everton a few weeks ago. Lots of chances, lots of shots, exciting play, fun to watch, just so attacking. The midfield three is great with Kulusevski in there, the way he's integrated him with Bentancur and Madison. It's just a fun team. And that run from Van de Ven for the first goal was just unlike anything I've ever seen, I think, from a center back. They're fearless. They don't play with any fear. They go home and away, and they do the same thing every time. They've got a clear idea, clear identity that Ange has instilled, and they try to play this free attacking football every week, and it's just, at the very least, it's fun to watch. So credit to Spurs. They absolutely blew away United from minute one. They deserve the win. I just love watching this Ange team play. And for United in this third Ten Hag season, it's just more questions than answers.
Yeah, I have no idea where United go from here because we've, like you said, been down this road before with previous managers. And a lot of times excuses have been, you know, there wasn't this overhaul. You need to get new players in. And I'm seeing these same excuses on Twitter. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, these are all new players. And you're right. There is not a semblance of consistency from this group. What's the next step? I don't know. I mean, you sack Ten Hag. Who do you bring in? Tuchel? Like, it's on Ten Hag. It's on the players. The ownership clearly felt the pressure to sack Ten Hag when they wanted to after he won the FA Cup. It's a mess because that was a difficult decision, and I don't think it necessarily was the wrong one, but immediately pressure's back on him. But not necessarily because they kept him around, but because this is his third season, and you saw glimpses during the first season. Last year was awful. You get players back fit, and you have expectations, and they're not hitting them right now. That's the bottom line. As far as Spurs are concerned, this is what I was talking. I wrote a column a couple weeks ago on after there were a couple of shaky results on why it's important to trust Ange. That first half was an absolute clinic. They were more energized. They were more disciplined. They showed quality that United couldn't even cope with. Mickey van de Ven, that run was one of the best I've ever seen from a center back. And that's something like, you know, there's no structure that can really contain that. It's just a brilliant play from a brilliant player. So when you're Spurs and you have a foundation that creates chances kind of regardless of who plays, and then you add individual brilliance, yeah, that's the recipe for winning a lot of games, and that's something they can go on and do this year. Brennan Johnson, again, scored. I know Van de Ven set that up, but he's picking up some form. He was subject to a lot of criticism, so things are looking up for Tottenham. But for United, I'm kind of at a loss right now. I think fans are just sick of this. You look at the results that Ten Hag has brought. It's just staggering, some of the score lines. And the score lines don't even do it justice. I mean, they were non-competitive in that first half. I guess 3-0.
It could have been more.
I guess 3-0 does do it justice. But, you know, they were down to 10 men. Bruno, he's their captain. I mean, it's a bit of an unfortunate. I think it got rescinded today.
Really?
It did, yeah.
I thought it was harsh.
It was
fair.
Harsh. He slipped.
But they were nowhere near them. They were nowhere near them.
It didn't change the game. No. If anything, it just kind of was more deflating. And I don't know where they go from here. Is Thomas Tuchel the guy to bring in? Maybe, but I think you kind of have to wait around for the next project. But, you know, I think with Ten Hag, the question was never over his tactical nous. I feel like everyone was kind of like, he is this kind of tactician, and questions were over his man management. I don't even think you can, I think it's both you're questioning now, because, I mean, where are they tactically? Where have they been tactically? And his man management style, I mean, since his very first month here, we're going back to Ronaldo, had question marks over. I'm not saying he handled that wrong, but he did. I've never gotten the sense that he's captured the dressing room and they're playing for him. Like, I feel like those Spurs players were playing for Ange this weekend. I don't think anyone was playing for Erik ten Hag. That's a problem, because you can't have the, you know, players love Pep, and they fight for him because they believe in his tactics. I don't think the players believe in Erik ten Hag, and I think that's the biggest issue.
How many times are we going to say this about United? It's like every year, well, he's lost the dressing room. I mean, listen, I think this team is getting better on paper. We're just not seeing it at all. So I'm with you, man. I don't know where they go. I don't see a glaring managerial candidate that should be brought in immediately to solve this problem, because if there was, they would have made the change.
Yeah.
And they didn't. So, I mean, that just goes to show.
Such a conundrum after the FA Cup. It really was. And, I mean, it's another funny thing. And this Ollie quote keep bringing up from, like, 2021, where, you know, managers shouldn't be, you know, people want to say we're back because we've won a trophy. Like, he literally said this. It's like, that's not how you rank, you know, how competitive you are. It's league position and consistency that tells the true story. That's essentially what he said. And Ten Hag comes out and keeps saying, kind of to his defense, I get it. It's only defense mechanism. Like, hey, I've won multiple trophies since I've been here. It's like, yeah, but look at the 38-game season you just played and are starting now. There's more to the story, and there's more to meet to the eye than just those trophies. And I know football is about winning trophies, and, you know, many fans, you know, like us, who would be desperate to win an FA Cup or a League Cup are here, you know, might be criticizing United. But for Manchester United, the standard of play is not good enough, and that's kind of
especially when you
see
what other teams are doing, which we'll get on to.
Yeah.
It's so much more obvious and effective, to be honest.
Let's move on to City Newcastle. This was the early game on Saturday. Man City fresh off of that Rodri injury, which we're going to get into. Newcastle went 1-0 down. It was Guardiola who put City up, but Newcastle got a penalty. Gordon tucked it away. 1-1. Better performance from Newcastle. I think this is what they've been looking for. Bit of a slow start. They've gotten some results, but I know fans have not been happy necessarily with the performances. Any pressure building on Eddie Howe? Don't know. This was better. But I want to focus on Man City. Is this already the sign of no Rodri, big problem? Or, you know, St. James's Park, difficult place to go, not a bad point. How significant will this Rodri injury be? Because we really didn't get to it last week.
I think it could be significant, but I think at the same time, if anyone can solve this issue, it should be Pep.
Yeah.
So I think we will see some tinkering. I think he will continue to make adjustments. But I think you're right. It was a good day out for Newcastle. Really good performance from them after a dodgy day at Craven Cottage for them last weekend. I thought they held their own really well, especially with a weakened team. Without Isak or Wilson through the middle, Gordon did pretty well, got his goal. So positive day for Newcastle after a bit of turmoil behind the scenes with Howe and Paul Mitchell, the director of football. So I have to say, just Eddie Howe continues to get results out of this team. I rate him really highly.
He's the opposite of Ten Hag.
Yeah, literally. My only concern with Newcastle is the depth. They didn't have a good window, but I just think Howe's doing a really, really good job. So I'd be sticking with him if I were them. But England could become coming calling. So, yeah, I don't know. I honestly, I'm tempted to say that the injury swings the title race, maybe in Arsenal's favor. I think it was Carragher was saying he favored City, and now he thinks it's 50-50. I definitely think it's closer now. It has to be because, you know, put this game aside, their record with and without Rodri is telling. Yeah. They barely lose with him, and they lose a bit more without him or drop points a bit more without him. So I think there are plenty of midfielders that can fill the void, but it might take two guys to do one job because Rodri just – he does everything. He does absolutely everything. He scores big goals. He's brilliant defensively. He anchors the team. He keeps things ticking. Rico Lewis can't do that on his own. John Stones can't do that on his own. Gundogan can't. So not many players in the world can, to be fair. I mean, even like for Arsenal, Declan Rice, he's like, I think we got to play this guy further forward and bring in someone to anchor the midfield. We saw what they did with Jorginho and now Partey. Like, nobody has a Rodri, really, I don't think. So I still think they will be, more than good. I think Kovacic has had a really good start to the season. I think he'll probably be first choice in one of the deeper positions. Who you play next to him, I don't really know. I think it'll probably vary game to game. But yeah, I think Arsenal will be looking at this and thinking, okay, I think this has to be our year now, really. Because how important, I think it's not a wild statement to say Rodri is the most important player in that team. Can they still win the league without him? Yes. But does he make a huge difference? Yeah, because he just does everything. It feels like the team is sort of built around him and functions through him. So I think we're going to see a lot of tinkering. It was interesting he took Savinho and Doku out. Grealish, I thought, had a good game. Silva on the right, and we know he can play there. But yeah, I wouldn't be super worried if I was City in terms of, the title race, because I think they'll have plenty of confidence in themselves to find solutions. And like I said, if anyone can do it, it's Pep. But I do think there is a little bit concern, and I think this brings it a bit closer. I think this brings the title race closer, for sure.
I think tactically, Rodri's injury brings up a ton of interesting prospects for City, because City's play under Pep over the last few years has really transformed from, in 2017-18 when he was first hitting their stride, it was kind of much more free-flowing attack, and they just kill teams. Whereas now, I feel like with Rodri and the style of play they were playing, they would kind of, like, I use the term stranglehold in the game. They just suffocate you. And Rodri, I think, is the biggest part of that. And you take Rodri out, I think there's just more leaks in that defense, and everyone gets a bit more exposed, and I wonder if Pep's solution is to go more gung-ho attacking and to throw more players forward to give the likes of Grealish and Doku and Savinho more attacking freedom, less emphasis on dominating possession. I mean, they're still dominating possession, but not in the way they would do it when you had Rodri back there. Because like you said, you don't have the one person that can be back there. It might be two. So now it raises some interesting questions. I think obviously this makes it a much closer title race between them and Arsenal and whoever else, whether you know Liverpool or Villa stick around. I know they're up there right now. But yeah, if anyone can outsmart losing arguably the best player in the world, definitely the best midfielder in the world, it is Pep. How he goes about doing that, I don't know. But yeah, if you're Arsenal right now, you know, now is the time to strike. Rodri has just been the pinnacle of consistency and of quality. And without him, City are vulnerable. They are vulnerable. And they have brilliant players. Of course they do. But I think the biggest thing is without him, everybody just gets that little bit more exposed. And you see results like this where maybe they squeak out a win at Newcastle in other years. Now they don't. Let's see how it happens. Let's see what unfolds. I think it makes for a great title race. I really do. It's a shame, the injury, because it's a serious one. And Rodri's not, he's not old. I think he's 28 or 29, maybe. He might even be 30. I'm not sure. You hope he recovers okay. And on a side point, he was pretty vocal about the amount of games players are playing. He came back late because he was in the Euros all summer. He had played ridiculous games. And it's just a shame to see a player of that quality go down with, you know, a serious injury. So keep an eye on Man City. I think it'll make for a great title race. Let's move on to Liverpool. Team that sits top of the table right now, Arne Slot, you know, they bounced back after a home defeat to Forest, beat Wolves on the road with a late winner. What have you made from the performances from Liverpool? Where does their outlook look like this year? Can they stay up there for the rest of the year?
Well, I think they can do something maybe a little similar to last year. I think they can hang around for a good chunk of the season, but I wouldn't consider them in the title race. Although I don't know if you watch the overlap, Paul Scholes would disagree. He has him above Arsenal in the title race. So interesting, but yeah, I think
that's
going,
crazy.
I know. I found it. I didn't agree, but an interesting opinion. I think they're going under the radar. You know, to be fair to them, they are top with 15 points. I know it's early days, but I thought in the game Wolves started really well, but Liverpool were patient, and I think that's a word we might continue to use with them this season. They slowly got control of the game. And ultimately, they did enough to punish Wolves away from home and win the game. So I think Gravenberch has been a standout in the midfield. Really like what he's done with him. And it just continues to impress as sort of the deepest of the midfield three, which looks to have maybe a little bit more balance with Gravenberch in there. Adds a bit more size to the midfield three. So I think Jota looks better up front than Nunez, I think, at the moment. He's just a clinical finisher. I like his movement. He just always seems to pop up with a goal. So I thought Konate had a good game, got his goal. I think they're going to be solid. I think they're a top four team, no question. Don't see them as title challengers, but they've got a lot of quality in the squad, and I really like this number six solution that Slot has come up with. I think for me the question is whether they can create the chances, which I think we'll get better at as the team continue adapts to this style that he's instilled. They only created three big chances on Sunday, which isn't bad, but it's not maybe what we're used to seeing or what the Anfield crowd is used to seeing from a bit more of a gung-ho approach that they had under Jurgen Klopp. So, yeah, listen, I like I said, when they drop points to Forest, I have zero concerns really about them this season. I think they'll be solid. I don't think the aim is to win the title, nor should it be, but I like what I'm seeing.
Yeah, I mean, with Liverpool, and I've talked about this kind of in our summer review, Klopp left them in such good shape that Arne Slot had a much easier job than might otherwise have been had Klopp said, you know what, this is my last year, I'm leaving everything on the table, I'm not looking for the long term. But, I mean, essentially, Slot caught Liverpool 1 year post-transition summer. Like, Klopp did the transitioning for Liverpool, which was great. And now you have that familiarity in the midfield between McAllister and Gravenberch and Szoboszlai, who all came in last summer and had to gel, and they did. I mean, that was brilliant from Klopp. But I think the question for Liverpool is, can they maneuver I mean, I've looked at their they've got a murderer's row of fixtures between the league and Champions League from now until Christmas. The depth is there, but I don't know if Slot – it's a bit too much asked of Slot, I think, to be in a title race already. It's going to be a lot for them to just keep up with the likes of Arsenal and City. I mean, who knows? Maybe City drop off big time and Liverpool are there with Arsenal, and then it's a question of that.
That would be something.
Who knows? But it was a big win on the road at Molineux. Wolves quickly – I mean, a bit surprised on Wolves. They're rock bottom. I think we both rate Gary O'Neill. They did lose Kilman and Neto this summer. Those were big misses, and they didn't really, you know, bring in a big player. Do you have any worry about them? You think they'll get out of it, or is there a sign for concern for Wolves?
They should get out of it, but no, I would be concerned, and it's the defense, I think. It's funny, Wolves always have these guys that you've just never heard of. They just seem to come out of nowhere. There's always a random Gomez, like, coming in, you know what I mean? Like,
some Brazilian or Portuguese guy.
Yeah, it's just Australia. Who's Andre? When did he come in? Yeah. I don't know. But no, I look at the team, and I'm like, that's a decent team. Cunha's great.
Yeah.
Huang, you know, actually, Strand Larson, I think, is a good sort of profile number nine. Lamina's been good. João Gomes was linked to Spurs over the summer. So they have to be good. Like, on paper, they're decent. I think Johnston had a good game. Like, I don't know quite what it is why they're not really clicking. And yeah, Liverpool's a tough game. And I thought they started well, like I said, and got a goal. But yeah, I don't know. I think if anything concerns me, it's probably the defense. But listen, this Premier League, I've said it before, it's competitive. I mean, look what the promoted teams have done to have a chance, spending a lot of money. Ipswich got a great result at the weekend. Like, I think this is a competitive league. I think it'll be a tighter relegation battle. And you wouldn't have had Wolves probably this close to it at the start of the season. But, yeah, no, I mean, they don't look as good as they did last year, for sure. So it's on O'Neill, who has enough credit in the bank, I think, to try to sort this out.
Yeah, Gazza, he's been in this spot before with them, with Bournemouth in the Premier League. So you'd like to think they can get out of it, but you wouldn't be surprised if they don't, because losing those kinds of players and not replacing them, that's how teams get relegated. It really does.
Yep.
All right, let's move on to Chelsea. I mean, what a result for Chelsea. Cole Palmer, 4 goals. He's just ice cold. That's a celebration. It's what he is. I don't think there's a lot going on upstairs. I don't know if you've seen this compilation of his interviews, but like every other question he gets asked, he just answers with, I don't know. Like he's very.
Yeah, he's a man of few words.
He's all about his game. But Chelsea, I mean, talk to me about what you're seeing from their players, from Maresca, and what a realistic finish could look like this year. Because Lord knows they've got the depth to keep this up.
Well, it's certainly better than United. I mean, so there's one team you've leapfrogged. I guess like they finished above them last season. The only issue I have with them on the pitch right now is the goalkeeper. He looks bad. Sanchez does not look good. I don't think he's not at that level. But you have to give Maresca a lot of credit, to be fair, for the way this team is set up. I think they're a bit raw, but I think that front four is just really fun to watch. Really exciting. Palmer in the middle behind Jackson seems to be working really well. Madueke is keeping his place in the team, seems to be doing well on the right. Sancho, I think, has found a nice little home for himself on the left. So it's working. Caicedo, I think, is improving too. Can he get a little bit more out of Enzo Fernandez? But, you know, he has a spot in the team. So we're seeing more consistency with the first 11, which is a huge plus because we didn't really know what Poch wanted to do until very late in the season last year. And it was a little bit up in the air with who was playing where. But we know what Enzo Maresca is trying to do, and it seems to be working. Cucurella had a terrible start to his Chelsea career, now has found a home at left back, inverting. Like, just it's all clicking right now. And they're a good team. On paper, they're a really good team. I think they will need time to mature because they do look a bit raw. But the talent is there for sure. So there is no reason why they cannot challenge for top four, because that team on paper is pretty stacked. I mean, João Felix and Neto off the bench, like, and Kunku, who I love, isn't starting, which, you know what, fair enough. I like that he's not budging, and like he's like, it seems to be, this is the team, this is the idea, this is what we're going to do, which is a plus in my book. So I like what Maresca is doing. Can they keep it going? It's a long season. They've got Conference League, we'll see, but they've got a lot of depth to handle that. So, I don't quite see them fourth this season. I think I'd probably still have Villa ahead of them. I'd have Liverpool ahead of them, and I'd probably just have Spurs ahead of them. But I think they're in that conversation. I could see them maybe nicking fifth. That could be a Champions League spot. Mm. But yeah, they're certainly better than United. I think they're probably better than Newcastle. Mm. So yeah, no, definitely comfortably in the top four race. I'm not sure they'll get it, but they're in that conversation, I think. They have to be.
Yeah, I think Maresca deserves credit. And he's been bold, you know, in his press conferences, tactically. And I think that's kind of what Chelsea needed. And a lot of people, including myself, when he was, you know, bold in that press conference saying, you know, those aren't my players. Like, these are my players. I thought that was a risky move. But, you know, Chelsea have been in dire need of just a bit of focus. Tactically, across the club, from players, focus, clarity, consistency. You're getting that with the same players that are starting week in, week out. And the benefits are starting to be seen. And I think for the last, you know, two and a bit seasons now, since Clear Lake have come into this club, you know, we've said it's going to take time for these young players to mature. Well, maybe, finally, they're maturing. Maybe the likes of Enzo and Caicedo are gelling together as a unit. Maybe that those defensive players like Levi Colwill just need a bit more time. Fofana, back from injury. Still not fully sold on the likes of Disasi and Batty Ashile. Reece James, I saw a picture of him today at training. I'll tell you what, he looks slimmer. I think you saw him early in his career. He was a slimmer guy than he is, you know, since he's been constantly injured. What an addition he would be on his day. Reece James is world-class at right back. You talked about Cucurella. And we don't really need to talk about how good their attacking players can be. I mean, Cole Palmer is arguably the most informed player in the league. Can you say Europe? Maybe. Scored a goal in the Euros final. Yeah. He's just relentless. He's got an eye for a goal, an eye for a pass. He's got everything about him. He's their talisman, which they've been crying out for since Eden Hazard left. You know, a club like Chelsea need that talisman. They need that goal scorer, that Mo Salah, that Haaland, that, you know, Saka, whoever it is for Arsenal. And I think they have that in Cole Palmer. And the depth in a top four race, Chelsea now have the advantage, I think, over the likes of Spurs and Villa in the depth department. I don't think they have it at their best. I think at their best, Villa are better. I'm not sold. I'm not convinced that Spurs are better at their best than Chelsea right now, because I've seen what Spurs are vulnerable to. I think Spurs can play brilliant attacking football. We've seen that. I think Chelsea can too. I think Spurs are better going forward than Chelsea. But I think Villa have a bit more grit defensively in midfield than Chelsea do. Chelsea still have to prove that a bit, at least to me. But they're going to be really an interesting team to watch, because there's just been so much off the field, on the field, swapping and changing players and managers, and it's just been relentless. And you're seeing results, and you're seeing, you know, investment into players paying off, and that's kind of all you can ask for as a Chelsea fan. It's going to be interesting to see what they do this year. All right, let's wrap things up with just a couple quick words on Arsenal and your boys Everton. I think just quickly on Arsenal, this is big for them. Last minute win against Leicester. They were up 2-0, were cruising, dominating Leicester. Leicester got back into it, and then a late goal from Kai Havertz. And then I think it was another one, or it was an own goal. Havertz got one to make it 4-2. I think that's big psychologically for Arsenal, just because it was a weekend where City dropped points. And early in the year, even now, I think it's important for Arsenal to capitalize. You know, they have the momentum on their side. It was a great performance the other week at the Etihad. They know Rodri's out for the year. City have dropped points early in the day. They had a 2-0 lead. They lost that 2-0 lead to make it 2-2. I think it's big that it's an underrated 3 points, because you think, you know, 3 points at home against Leicester, that's a given. But the way they went and got it, and in the context they got it, I think was really important. So I'll just say that on them.
Yeah. And no, then you can always feel like they can get a late goal. Yeah. Arsenal, which is a positive now. I thought they were, well-deserved too. I mean, Leicester weren't really – they scored two goals, but Arsenal dominated the game.
Yeah.
And you felt like – it was going to come eventually, and it just arrived quite late.
Yeah. And your boys, Everton, at long last picked up a win against Palace. What can you tell us about first win for your boys, and things are looking up, maybe?
Maybe, yeah. It wasn't a convincing first half at all. I thought we struggled to, you know, get a bit of momentum and create chances, but second half was a lot better. We came out of the blocks firing. I heard Coleman apparently gave quite the speech at halftime to rally the troops. So, yeah, I mean, listen, it was a relatively even game against, you know, two teams who are mid-table, really, at best. I think we had a bit more high hopes for Palace this season, but you know, they didn't really impress me too much. Maybe had a bit more about them first half than Everton did. But yeah, listen, Dwight McNeil, I think it has been an unsung hero, I think, of the Premier League, of our team. I think he's found a really nice role in the middle, and I'll give Deitch some points for that. I think we look better going forward at our best with Ndiaye on the left, who I've praised on the podcast time and time again. He looks really sharp. And to be fair, Deitch made the right sub at halftime. Jack Harrison came on for Lindstrom and changed the game. And we got two goals through McNeil, the first of which was an absolute beauty, and the second of which was a great ball from Harrison that he finished off back post. So it was it felt a bit more Everton. And with Branthwaite back there, I felt a lot more confident that we could hold on to the lead. And we did. And we had to hold on for a while. But we did well to hold on. Maybe could have even grabbed a third. But we never make it too easy on ourselves. So, it felt better in that second half, protecting the lead. A lot less nervy. Dealt with what came our way. Looked less vulnerable from set pieces. Although we did concede sort of a weird goal in that first half. But yeah, I definitely think Branthwaite made a huge difference. To be fair, I thought Ashley Young had a much better game at right back. Mikulenko is always steady at left back. Shout out to Mangala. I thought he's slotted in well to the team, and a nice experienced Premier League midfielder always helps you at this sort of end of the table. So yeah, a little bit better depth there with Garner and Gay coming on is nice to have. So, yeah, we've got a few more options. Certainly bought Deitch more time. Let's see where we can go from here. We need to build off that. We've got a tough game at home against Newcastle. But it always helps, you know, the fan buy-in if you can get a bit of form at Goodison. So let's be tough to beat. I think that's the name of the game. Let's go back to basics. That's what it felt like in that second half against Palace. Back to basics. Hard to beat. And I think we can create a lot more chances this season and score more goals than we did last season. So work to do still. But much better.
Looking up for the Toffees. That's where we're going to end things this week. Until next time, thank you for listening.